Scripture reading this morning is in Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4. The Psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, our Father, as we come before you, knowing that in you we live and move and have our being. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd meet with us. Lord, we need thee. To whom can we go that has the words of eternal life? Be with those, Lord, that are sick and afflicted today, those that are traveling that are not with us. Lord, just be all they need. Give traveling mercies. Give a touch of thy hand according to your will. Father, your will be done this morning. May your name be exalted, for you're worthy of all praise. And we ask this in that blessed name that's worthy of all praise. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 13, there are 14 verses here. When we dealt with Romans 12 last time, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Christian ethics, how Christians should treat one another, the duties of pastors, elders, one another, how we're to treat one another, love one another. And so Christian ethics was the theme in Romans 12. But now here in chapter 13, we come to see that Paul is giving instruction on how we are supposed to act concerning human government. Title of the message this morning, if it's got one, is The Believer and Human Government. The Believer and Human Government. There are duties that you and I have as believers in regards to human government. Let me say this before I even begin read verse 1. You know, the thought occurred to me as I was reading this. Why did the Apostle Paul write this? You know, for what purpose did he write it? Of course, the first reason, first and foremost, is this. He was inspired of the Holy Ghost to write it, or it wouldn't be here. This we know. Then, second of all, you know, most of the believers in the early church were thought to be enemies of the government. They were thought to be seditious. Thirdly, the Jews despised being ruled by anyone who wasn't a Jew. They didn't care for Gentile rulers at all. They didn't like them. They didn't like them one bit. And then, something I found out according to history, the Galileans were those that were most vehemently opposed to paying taxes. They were very opposed to it. And you say, well, why the Galileans? Well, if you've read the scriptures and studied them, you know that the apostles were what? Galileans. And Christ, while he was there in the flesh, was also a Galilean. And they were opposed to paying tribute and taxes. And then another reason why I believe this was written is many believers in the early church thought that they were exempt from being subject to human government because of the wickedness and profaneness that these Gentile rulers showed. They thought, well, these are rebels, these are renegades, these are profane people. We don't have to listen to them. We don't have to be in subject to them. And so, these five reasons, I believe, is why. But first and foremost, the Holy Ghost inspired him to write them, is why Paul wrote this part of Romans to the Roman believers. And when we look at this chapter, you know, we are not supposed to say, well, this was just to the Romans. No. This is to us. This is to all believers. What are our responsibilities? The believer and human government. And let me say this. Human government is ordained of God. I'm telling you. Human government is ordained of God. And we're going to find this out. Look in verse 1, Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or ordered of God. Let every soul, that's every man, woman, boy, and girl. Every soul, no exemptions, no exceptions, be subject. Now, what does it mean to be subject? Well, to be subject means to show honor. It's to show obedience to lawful commands. Now listen to me. To lawful commands that are not in direct violation of God's law. Now that's right. We're to be subject, we're to be obedient, and we're to give honor. You know, even the Apostle Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we're to pray for kings and rulers in authority. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse says, who will have all men to be saved. Now, I got to run this rabbit while I'm thinking of it. What Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying that it's the will of God for men of all sorts, from all walks of life, carpenters, ditch diggers, teachers, presidents, congressmen, senators. It's God's will that men of all sorts. And that's what this scripture is teaching. God can save kings. Amen. Has God saved kings in the past? He certainly has. Has God saved scribes in the past? He has. God saves men out of every kindred, tongue, and nation, regardless of position, whether they're kings, whether they're senators, whether they're congressmen, whether they're mayors, whether they're people on the city council, doesn't make any difference. So we're to pray and to honor these people. The Apostle Paul, I remember in Acts 24, when the high priest smote him, and Paul got angry, and he said, smitest me because it's not written in the law for you to do that. You smote me and you're breaking the law. And a man stood by him and said, revilest thou God's high priest? You know what Paul said? He said, I didn't know he was the high priest, because it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. That's what the book says. And so we're to be subject, we're to be obedient and honor rulers and their laws as long as they do not violate God's law. Now you need to remember this. Then the question's asked, and I think I've already dealt with this. Who are these higher powers? Well, people in authority. Presidents, vice presidents, kings, congressmen, senators, all of these people, magistrates. Then the question has to be asked, why are we to do this? For the powers that be, it says here in verse 1, are ordained of God. God has ordained this to be so. The question I want you to keep thinking in your mind as I go through this morning is, where would we be without some form of government? Where would we be without some form of government? You know, God is a God of order. We need look no further than the Garden of Eden. When God created Adam after his image and his own likeness, what did he give Adam authority to do? Take care of it. Take care of the garden. Take care of the earth. He gave him dominion. He gave him authority over the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air. He told him he could name them. And he told him to be fruitful, multiply. And Adam had this authority that was given from God. When we look at authority all through the scriptures, we see that God has ordered authority. Here's the divine authority in 1 Corinthians 11. We find this, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. That's what he says. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. You say, well, I don't really believe that. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. That's God's divine order. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. Then I want you to notice in verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power or the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now, that's something you need to let soak in. You say, well, I don't want to be subject to the government. Well, it's ordained of God for you to do so. You say, well, I don't like the way the government does. Welcome to the club. I don't either. But as long as they're not violating God's law. Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In the fourth chapter of Acts, Peter and the apostles were brought before the Jewish rulers, and they had told them, "Did we not straitly charge you not to preach and teach in this name? Didn't we tell you that? And you're still doing it, and you're bringing this man's blood upon us." You know what Peter said to him? He said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. For we cannot but preach and teach the things which we have said and heard." I mean, we can't help it. We've got to do it. So there are many, many foreign countries where worshiping the Lord, gospel preaching, is forbidden. Do we quit because they say it's against their law? Absolutely not. We meet where we have to. We preach the gospel. We're commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? That means whether it's in this park, whether it's on the job, whether it's in a place of worship, we're told to preach the gospel. And if they tell us it's against the law for us to do this, since it's against God's law, we resist. You hear me? We resist. But anything that is not against the law of God, we're to be subject to it. We're to be subject to it. And if you resist the power, you're resisting the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. Let me give you an example. You're driving your car or your truck down 19. Speed limit's 55. Now, when you see that sign, you can do one of two things. You can either say, "Okay, I better watch it." Or you can say, "I don't care what it says. I got things to do." And you lay your foot on the gas and you see an officer of the law sitting on the side of the road and you pass him. And all of a sudden, he comes after you, pulls you over. Should you be angry that he does that? Should you resist and say, "Why don't you pull over these drug dealers and all of these other people? All I did was break the speed limit." You've broken the law. You've broken the law. And when you break the law, you will pay the consequences of breaking that law. Now, that's right. That's right. If you resist the power and you say, "I ain't going to do it, I ain't going to pay it," let me tell you something. They're going to get you one way or the other. You'll either pay the fine or they may put you in jail. Now, you know that's so. You know that, so. Why do we have government? Verse 3. Why? For rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're obeying the laws, as long as they don't violate God's, if you're obeying the laws, you're paying the taxes, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. If you're a lawful, abiding citizen, not stirring up no trouble, you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to be afraid of government. You have no reason to be afraid of punishment. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now look at verse 4. Now a lot of people don't believe this, but it's so. For he that is that authority, that ruler, that policeman, that mayor, whoever it is in authority, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. And what that means is simply this. If you do evil, you can expect judgment. You can expect paying for the consequences. So he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. Wherefore, verse 5, you must needs be subject. Not only for wrath, in other words, you shouldn't be subject just because of the fear of being caught or the fear of being judged for wrongdoing, but also for conscience sake. In other words, you have a conscience. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You want to be obedient for conscience sake. Now, let me say this. Verse 6, I want you to notice this. For this cause, pay ye tribute. Tribute is taxes. For this cause pay ye tribute. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. They came to Jesus one day, the Pharisees did. Of course, the Pharisees trying to trap him. And they said, is it lawful to pay tribute? Is it lawful to render unto Caesar? But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, show me a penny. They showed him a penny. And he said to them, on this penny, whose is the superscription? They said, Caesar's. You know what he said to them? Render therefore the things that are Caesar's unto Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. Amen. Came to the Apostle Peter, they did one time, concerning paying taxes, concerning a temple tax that they paid every year. They came to Peter and they said to him, does your master pay tribute? In other words, does your master pay taxes? Peter said, why, yeah. And then he went to the Lord and told him what happened. And he said, I tell you what you do. You go down to the sea, very first fish that you catch. He said, there's going to be money in that fish's mouth. And you take that money and you pay the tribute for me and for you. Isn't that what it said? So it's lawful to pay taxes. Now, you may hate it some kind of bad, but it's lawful to do that. You render unto the government what's the government's, and you render to God what's God's. This is good instruction. This is good instruction. Then I want you to notice, as we go a little further to this, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues. Long as it don't violate God's law, render unto them all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute? Pay your taxes. Federal tax, of course, we're blessed here not having to pay state tax, but you got to pay federal tax, you got to pay tax on your car, you got to pay tax on your home. Tax, tax, tax everywhere you turn. Now, you may not like it. I didn't say you didn't have to like it. But it says, render therefore to all their dues. That's what it says. Tribute to whom tribute is. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And when he's talking about fear here, he's not talking about being afraid of judgment. He's talking about reverence for the office sake. Now, I know, and you know, a lot of leaders who are profane, ungodly, and they happen to be in a position of authority. The scriptures teach us not only to pray for these people, but it also tells us, honor to whom honor. We're to respect them for their offices' sake, because they're in a position of authority. Where would we be without government?
Where would we be without government? Without some kind of, I mean, there's a lot of forms of government. There's a, we know it as a democratic form of government. There's a capitalistic form of government. There's a socialistic form of government. There's a communistic form of government. There's a dictator form of government. There are a lot of forms of government. But government must be, there must be a voice of authority. There must be. All of us with our vehicles out here in the parking lot, you know why when we go back out and the service is done and our tires are still on the car and not gone, is because there is a law against stealing. There's government for that. See what I'm saying? There's government for that. What would your property be worth if there was no government? What would your vehicle be worth if there was no government? What if there was no government? Just utter chaos everywhere. Nobody has to answer. People can do what they will. They can murder, they can rape, they can kill without the fear of judgment, without the terror of human government. What kind of world would this be? You say, preacher, it's getting pretty bad. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's getting pretty bad, but it ain't as bad as it could be. God has ordained government, and we're to be subject to this. Now I want to get to verse 8 here and go through this. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Now I heard a preacher years ago, and I'm not making fun of him. He would take that verse of scripture, Phil, and he'd say, you have to pay cash for everything. It's wrong to buy things on time. You know, he'd say, this says right here, not to owe nobody nothing, means you got to pay cash for everything. Well, I wish I could pay cash for everything, don't you? But I can't. What he's talking about here, about owe no man nothing, he's talking about be responsible for your debts. Pay your debts. If you've signed a contract for a car, pay it. It's honorable to pay it. Pay it on time. Pay it. You got taxes to pay, pay it. Owe no man nothing. In other words, pay your debts. Honor to whom honor. But there is a debt. There is a debt that can never be paid. And it's here in verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. That's a debt that can never be paid. That's a debt that you'll continue to owe. By this, John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. That's a debt that can never be paid. We're to continue to be owing that debt. We're to continue to show and pay that debt every single day. Love one another. Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13, if I gave my body to be burned and I have not love, it would profit me nothing. If I had faith to remove mountains and have not love, it would profit me nothing. If I knew all prophecies and I have not love, it would profit me nothing. That's right. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, let me say this, because I'm not going to finish. In this flesh, we can never love perfectly. this we know. We can never love perfectly. But we're to strive to do that. We're to strive to do that. Love is the fulfilling of the law. The second table of the Ten Commandments, which deals with how to treat your neighbor. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. I mean, these are things that are in reference to how we deal with other people, how we deal with our neighbors. When you look at God's law, and Christ said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. One, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, strength, soul, might. And the second is like unto this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look in verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery with his wife. You're not going to kill. You're not going to steal. You're not going to bear false witness if you love him. You don't covet what he has if you love him. And if there be any other commandment, it is comprehended in this. It's in here. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why? Verse 10 tells you why. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you ain't going to do this stuff. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The believer and human government. I hope this is helpful. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction that you've given us on how to act and how to do and how we're to be in this world. Lord, just open our understanding. Give us wisdom, knowledge, to know how to live and walk. We have your word. We have your spirit. Oh, Father, teach us. Don't leave us to ourselves. We ask this in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.